Now, Billy Cunningham, the Great American. Let's begin this Tuesday afternoon in the Tri-State. The Reds back at it tonight. Coverage starts about 6:05 or lesser with Lance McAllister and more, and or Mo Agar, because Lance may be on vacation. Later on, we have Brian Tome coming up, and also a live report from Chicago with newscaster GNTV is Joe Donlan about what's happening there and what could happen here or anywhere. But until then, there's lots of flack going on now between the city and the county about what's going to happen on the riverfront. I've only been on the air beginning this month 37 years. And in those 37 years, the riverfront has been on the front page of the Inquirer for the past 37 years about what's going to happen, beginning in 1970 with the Riverfront Stadium that never was finished, then what to do with PBS or the Bengals coming or going, the Great American Ballpark, named after me, of course, Bob Castellani, away we go. And so the story in the Inquirer written by Sharon Coolidge, and I'm sure that Jason Williams gave her great direction about what's happening now between the city and the county, et cetera. And Jason Williams, welcome again to the Bill Cunningham Show. And Jason, how are you?
Willie, how you doing? Great to be back with you. All I can do is laugh and chuckle. And yes, I did. I did pass along a few tips for that story, which was done by my awesome coworker Sherry Coolidge and Scott Wortman, two really great watchdog reporters.
Well,
and,
we got problems.
Did a good job on this.
We got Jason. I spoke to your friend and mine, Charlie Lucan, the greatest mayor the city ever had, about 20 years ago. He put in the pylons or other things necessary so that the Fort Washington Way could be covered by this massive park, so that instead of coming off 71 and turning right in front of the stadiums, getting into 75, there was going to be these massive platforms are in place ready to go, in which large park of dirt and all kind of stuff could be put on to connect the riverfront. And I said, Charlie, how long would that take? He told me it should be done by 2007 2008. It'll be all done. Here we are almost a generation later, and when I drive to the airport, I look above me, I see clean air. There's nothing going on there. I can recall the drawings of 2001. The riverfront would have a large park, which did happen, Schmail Park, which is gorgeous. But we were going to have all these boats. We're going to have marinas. We're going to have condos on the Ohio River in between these two large stadiums. What the hell happened the last 20 years?
To put that succinctly, fiefdom building, arrogance, a power struggle. And that sounds very broad, but that is really, Willie, what it boils down to. And then Charlie Lucan said it best. I had him on my podcast at the Inquirer last week, That's So Cincinnati. And somewhere in the middle of the interview, he drops in this one line that I thought, that is exactly the story. And he said something along the lines of, until Tom Gabelman, who's the county's attorney, and Reds owner Bob Castellini stopped viewing this as their, quote, their own little project, nothing is going to change. And I'm like, bingo. That is exactly it right there. And that speaks to who's in control down there. Is it the public officials with the tens of millions of tax dollars, state, local, and federal money that's been poured into this project? Are the public officials, the elected officials in charge?
No.
Or are the Reds and Bengals in charge?
Correct.
And that right there, I'm not sure, but it may have been the first time ever anyone went on the record about that very issue, that, hey, who is really calling the shots down there? And all my reporting has led to that as well. And until that does change, and until the elected officials, the county officials in this case, the commissioners, step up and say, you know what, we need to make a leadership change. I wrote a column about this a couple weeks ago. Until they change the leadership down there and the leadership structure, and they really clearly say who is in charge, is it us, the elected officials, or is it them, the Reds and Bengals, you're going to continue to have these very kinds of things.
And what happened yesterday, I'm watching, I think it was Channel 9, had a story with the city of Cincinnati literally pulled a building permit issued to the county to do construction work. That has never happened before, where one government tells another government, by law, stop what you're doing. It's illegal. You don't have permission. And that caused the commissioners to fire John Cranley. He's not fired back. I don't want to hear it anymore. I know what he's going to say, but I've heard it 10 times. I've heard it 100 times. And this is like a giraffe is a horse designed by a committee. And so we got these different entities that have different interests, and nobody's in charge, and it's a consequence. Yep. It continues to flounder.
Well, Will, you know who else doesn't want to hear it anymore? The citizens of Hamilton County, the taxpayers, the voters, the citizens. They're tired of it. I think people just sort of look at it, and they do what I did earlier, and they just laugh. Yeah. And it's not a fun laugh. It's a sad laugh. And, you know, again, what you just said there, the city pulling that permit, you got to dig down underneath it. Well, what's going on? It goes back to that power struggle. Tom Gabelman and John Cranley absolutely cannot stand each other, and they have been at war over this project going back to probably several years, but certainly that's come more to the forefront in the past year and a half over this music venue, the past couple of years. And so when you see something like that, that's my first instinct is to think John Cranley and his battle with Tom Gabelman, who is, again, the county's point person on this project, and the county will argue with me on that, and saying that he's no longer the point person.
Yeah.
But as long as he – and that they've cut his salary or his contract by 20%.
Oh.
But as long as he continues to be a part of – and that's a fact, by the way. As long as he continues to be a part of this project and there's no master developer and they're looking to him to be kind of the expert on development, which he's not. He's a lawyer. You're going to continue to have these same problems.
And, Jason,
you really
we had
are.
The expert from Atlanta – and after dealing with this for a few years, the Atlanta guy said, to hell with this, I'm leaving. Now you got Andy Black, who's running for the Hamilton County Commission, saying he wants to sell Paul Brown Stadium to Wall Street interest to come in here with hundreds of millions of dollars to build a stadium that's going on 20 years old, possibly without a tenant in 4 years, that needs tens of millions of dollars of improvements. And then I hear from Gabelman and from Cranley that Gabelman and Cranley are kind of like Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump. They can't even get in the same room together. And then you got Bob Castellini, who's losing money hand over fist. I don't know if you saw this out of Atlanta. I read everything every night. The Atlanta Constitution has a story about the Atlanta Braves, which are owned by Liberty Media, which is a publicly traded company. So they have to report quarterly earnings on Wall Street. So they reported April, May, and June when baseball was played for like, what, about a week. And they're losing almost $1 million a day. Instead, they've lost 95% of their revenue and with their expenses continuing. And they're going to be in violation of their loan covenants with the banks. And now they're going to lose more money the next 3 months. And Bob Castellini said this to me on opening day when I had him on. He said, nobody can believe how expensive, how much money we're losing. And so you have a billionaire who's losing maybe $1 million a day with the Reds. You have Paul Brown Stadium with a lease expiring in about 5 or 6 years that the Bengals want the taxpayer to pay millions of dollars more to keep them there. Then you have a candidate for council, a commission, saying we're going to sell the whole stadium to somebody else. Then you got a building project underway that the city pulls the permit and the county is yelling and screaming at the city. And I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, this looks like a Three Stooges movie.
I wish we could chalk it up and just say, you know what, it's part of the course in 2020, but this has been going on for 20 years, Willie. To the selling of the stadium, it's not realistic. I know you and Alicia Reese talked about this a few weeks ago. And it's not a realistic. I will give Andy Black credit for bringing up the topic and trying to raise it as an issue and trying, I think, you know, sort of trying to think out of the box and how in the world is this going to work?
Yeah.
So from that standpoint, the creativity, I think he's put in a lot of work on it. He's put a team together to work on something like this. I give him credit for that. And, but from the standpoint of this actual issue itself, the reality is that's never going to work. If you look around the country, that's not happened anywhere.
No.
If it were something that worked, you would have other stadiums, municipal stadiums, being sold to wealthy business people and that kind of thing. But you're right. But at the end, but kind of down underneath it all, and at the crux of the issue is: are the Bengals going to stay, or are they going to go?
Right.
And something's going to have to give, because you're right, Willie. And especially now, in the economy that we're facing and the long-term effects of that. You throw that on top of the fact that the stadium fund is already way behind and that the bills are coming due because of this crazy one-sided lease in an agreement that was done with the Bengals years ago by the Republican Commission at the time. Something's going to have to give. And I, you know, and so someone is going at the county commission as a team is going to have to stand up to the Bengals. And I've been criticized for saying this, take a stand against the Bengals. Well, something's got to give. And,
well, you know,
it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. And look, I'm telling you, and I know people keep kicking the can on it, Willie, and I know people keep, well, it's, look, it's still going. They're still here. But at some point, Willie, the bills are going to come due, and there will be that poignant moment in time to which we're going to say, we cannot afford this. We, as the taxpayers, cannot afford this. And so, Bengals, you either take this deal that's more favorable to the taxpayers, or you know what, you leave.
Well, the fact I was told by an insider last night, until the Bengals decide what's going to happen in 2026. And that's coming to 23.
When the lease is up.
The lease is up. They got 2 5 years after that. But if they don't commit to the city of Cincinnati under a completely revised deal, then we can't do anything till 2026. Okay. I may not be on the radio then. You may be having to deal with it. But I cannot conceive of something happening the next 6 years with the Bengals. They're going to maximize maybe Toronto, maybe San Antonio, maybe London, maybe Mexico City. The economy will change and get better. Here's $2 billion up front. God bless Mike Brown, who will likely be meeting his maker at some point, and I wish he lives a long and productive life. But let's face it, all of us have an expiration date, and you're going to continue fighting this thing. And then if the Bengals leave, what smart money says is more likely than not, then what do you do with this huge, dilapidated stadium, which needs all this work? Nobody's going to move here. That means that things are going to have to be imploded, torn apart. Then where do we go? And we have no music venue. We have stop orders from the city to the county. We have the Reds organization losing money hand over fist. We have the Bengal franchise, shall we say, leadership vacuum is going to occur. That they're going to be offered all this money to go elsewhere. Tom Gabelman will still be there. Maybe P.G. Sittenfeld will be in charge, or Chris Smitherman, and or Andy Black and Alicia Reese. All I can say, Jason Williams, all hell's breaking loose. And nothing's going to change for the next half a decade, correct?
I don't see it happen, correct. And unless you say, hey, who's going to decide to step up and chart a new course from an elected official standpoint? So far, Democrats and Republicans alike have not done that. You know, you bring up P.G. Sittenfeld. Is P.G. Sittenfeld going to stand up and say, you know what, hey, I'm tired of this too? Or, you know, Denise Driehaus, she's in her first term. Or Alicia Reese, if she's elected to the county commission. Or Andy Black, if he's elected. Are these new folks coming on here on both sides, the city and the county, going to say, you know what, this hasn't worked.
No, no.
We're elected to solve problems for the people, and now it's time to solve the problems. Until someone does that, I mean, yeah, we have to sit here and assume it's just going to be more of the same, more, you know, back and forth and, you know, pointing fingers and nothing getting done, and still empty lots down there on this front porch development.
Yeah, beautiful.
Really, that I think probably if things had gotten along, that thing would have already been fully built out, developed, done, moved on. We'd all been loving it.
But lastly, we're not in Campbell County, where Judge Don Gentry is having banging relationships with her former minister in chambers with parties and with empty beer cans and empty booze bottles and engaging in sexual relationships with men and women while wearing a judicial robe. At least we don't have that situation going on.
I am speechless. At least we do not. But what a story that is, Willie.
You know, I know I sleep with a female judge. I've done it for like 50 years. And I'm thinking,
the people's judge.
That's it. And I know 8 or 9 of her buddies, names unmentioned, who are female judges, Democrats, Republicans. They are aghast. And then I hear things, this happens all the time. There's beer. I said, what? I've never been in the courtroom of any female or male judge in which there's empty beer bottles, booze bottles, and sex and grunts coming out of chambers, and then jobs being offered to female sex partners in exchange for activities. And I'm watching this, and I'm going, people think this is normal? I got a text from a female attorney, says she's shocked. And I said, look, women are not responsible for Don Gentry any more than I'm responsible for someone else's behavior. But at least we're not in Campbell County. Give us credit for that.
At least we're not in Campbell County. Can I ask you one quick question? You brought up the people's judge, Penny Cunningham. Has she been able to convince you to move downtown?
Well, I'll say this. I was getting closer until about 2 months ago. And then I saw what I was told for decades, that once Leeper and those guys did their $1 billion improvement, that the riots, the trashing of downtown OTR was done. It shocked many of us 2 or 3 months ago when it wasn't done. There was a pretext 500 miles away to cause $1 billion in investment to go south. I may wait for a year or two until property values cut in half. When they cut in half and the city is functional and the riverfront's looking good and there's not city and county fights and the Bengals have committed to stay and the platform over the top of Fort Washington Way is done and a beautiful park is existing there, then I would consider it. Tell me when that happens.
I don't know when that happens. All I can say is a man of the city, Bill Cunningham. How about that?
Of course, I may run for city council. Now, wouldn't that be something? Oh, my God.
Man, don't in your time up here, because, man, we're getting down rabbit holes now. And I'm like,
no.
I'm not qualified to talk about that.
I'm young compared to David Mann. So, all right. Jason Williams, thank you for coming on the Bill Cunningham Show. And thank you. We'll see what happens. You may have to deal with this in 6 or 8 years, but I'll be on a beach somewhere.
Thanks, Willie.
All right.
Talk to you.
All right, let's continue. All right, I want to get your reaction next. Coming up after 1 o'clock is Joe Donlin from GNTV about what's happening in Chicago with the riots. Scheduled 1:35 today. Brian Tome, 2 o'clock, the governor at your home of the Reds. Starting tonight again on News Radio 700 WLW.